Hey everyone, this is Austin Schur here with We Write About Music, and today I'm speaking with James Robert Webb. He has just released a seriously fantastic new track. It is called Gentlemen Start Your Weekends, and I'm very excited to talk to him all about it. James, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your extremely busy week to be here and do this. How are you? What's going on?
I'm doing great, man. We're just getting ready for release week. So, thanks for having me on, Austin. It's
Oh,
nice.
yeah, absolutely.
And
Yeah,
hello
it's
to everybody, all Austin's
of
fans.
course it is release week, and you must be a little stressed, you must be a little excited, you must be a little happy that
All
it's
those
getting to the
emotions.
point.
Yeah, I mean, I've had the song in the bag for a couple of years, but I just was kind of I knew it's kind of a bigger song than I'm at, in
Yeah.
my career, and I'm trying to do everything I can to get a team that can help me with that. So,
Right.
yeah, so this baby has been in the pocket for a little bit. So I'm really excited for this one. It's probably my favorite song that I've done as far as when I got in first starting writing stuff, I always like writing up tempo songs. And when it comes to country, I like a lot of that 90s country that really brought the
Sure.
old rock and roll. Like, I don't know, Brooks and Dunn, Beer 30, or even like
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
the Hank Williams Jr., All My Rowdy Friends Are Coming Over Tonight. That was like the Monday Night Football theme forever before Carrie Underwood. Like those kind of fun things. So, yeah, for me, this is kind of the culmination of a writer is kind of getting to that point where, we're able to like make fun songs.
Totally. And I'll fully agree with you on that. Like it 100% has that 90s vibe to it, but obviously with modern elements and like an updated instrumentation and the whole thing. Like, and as
Right.
I like, I'm gonna fully like blow up your ego over the next 20 minutes or so. But of course, as I mentioned before we start recording, like I love this song and I sincerely mean that. I've listened to it so many times since it first got sent over, and it's so catchy. And I find myself like humming it around the house, and in a totally like non-exaggerated way, it's just great. And
Yeah.
one thing before we fully get into it is I feel like for a lot of people when they hear like country music, they either love it or they hate it. Like there's not really a big middle ground. There's becoming a little more on the mainstream side of country nowadays, but I feel like this is such a good song to kind of bring in a new audience of people because it just I don't know. There's something about it that just feels natural.
I hadn't thought of it that way. I grew up not really liking country because that was all that was played in my house. Like, that's all my dad
Sure.
listened
Yeah.
to. And I never really, I mean, I hear stuff on the radio because my parents listen to all the
Yeah, of
time,
course.
like things like Randy Travis, and there's exceptional songs and stuff that broke over that everybody likes because they're great songs and great recordings. But I was not really into country until I kind of got back into country, let's say around 2004, I would say,
Okay.
like the Brooks and Dunn stuff, because it was kind of like
Sure.
the last bastion of like old school rock and roll, like on the
Totally.
radio, because
Yeah.
we're kind of into the new metal and a lot of urban and stuff like that. So I don't know. For me, the thing I liked about the 90s country guys is they took the storytelling, like this lyrical emphasis, and like things are telling a story. And they kind of incorporated more like, more modern elements. I'd say looking back now, it's almost more like the old time rock and roll kind of stuff in the
Yeah.
that the 90s guys incorporated, like a lot of the boogie woogie and blues stuff. Yeah, so maybe and I was just trying to like update that in one way. Like, so for me, this started out as a track, like me just playing an instrumental thing, and I just wanted to write something that was fun to play on guitar and not technically too hard. Like, so when you are learning to play guitar, oh, like Smoke on the Water, right? Like everybody wants to play Smoke
Everyone's first
on the
song.
Water in the 80s. That was
Yeah.
the guitar thing. So I think of things like the Rolling Stones' Brown Sugar, that those kind of key flicks. So yeah, it has a little bit of that. It has a little bit of the Donnas, probably like some Kiss, like some of those kind of guitar
Can hear
influences.
that.
Yeah, but I think people don't usually hear that unless I like point out, oh, this lick is like this and whatever. I think the more I saw, there's a reel going around right now with Geddy Lee, or somebody's saying like originality is that you have so many influences that you can't even tell what what your influences are, because
Sure.
thing about that is one or two little notes from this, you know, followed by something completely different.
I think at the end of the day, though, like, so much of making music is like, how do I sound different than anyone else? You know what I'm saying? And if you have, right. if you have so many influences and then you obviously infuse yourself into it, you can attempt to make something new. And that's, yeah. I mean, when so many people are making music, how do you stand out?
Yeah. I mean, you know, going back to the whole country thing, I kind of really kind of stopped self-applying the country label. I just, when I got into writing, mm-hmm. I had some connection to Nashville and I kind of made a conscious decision. Well, you know, like Katy Perry and Taylor Swift learned how to write great songs in Nashville. They're not country artists. So that's kind of where I spent my time learning the craft. But at the same time, I had to come back and like make the music all about, you know, something different. So I've been, as a country artist, I kind of did more new traditionalist stuff for the last 10 years. And now that's kind of where everybody's going. And so now I'm kind of like, okay, well, I'm not going to be in that lane anymore. You know, like if everybody, I don't want to be competing with everybody else, you know, it's different because I think if I tried to be Morgan Wallen, I can never be as good of a Morgan Wallen as him. Or if I want to be, you know, Chris Stapleton, I can't be Chris Stapleton. He's going to be the first baseman if that's first base. You know, I'm not knocking.
No, that's a great point.
I'm not beating him.
Right. No. And then, and then you get labeled as like, this guy's trying to be this person. And they completely disregard you because you've not stolen their thing, but you've emulated them too hard.
Yeah. You really just want to make something that's different to me. Right. And then, you know, you can make super original music that's unlike anything anybody else has ever heard. And you can make commercially successful music that sounds like everything else. But if you can get both of those things together, it's kind of, that's my goal.
Right. That's the ticket, right?
To be something that's different. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So
all the artists I love, you know, sound different.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. So like I said, this song is super catchy and it feels like an anthem for the ages. Like, you're getting ready to go out. Obviously, the title is suggestive for a time to play this. But at the same time, like, it feels like a pump-up song. It feels like an energizer in some ways. What was the thought process behind, like, writing this and actually, like, composing it to be what it is?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in composing the track, I pretty much, you know, it was kind of like putting all those fun elements together, making it up-tempo. Sure. And I think what really came... You know, I kind of had that written, but I didn't, I do this a lot. Like I'll have like a cool track, but it's, you know, just an instrumental and then you're trying to find the right hook. And then, one afternoon, you know, I think it was a Friday and I remember it was during the Kavanaugh hearings for whatever reason. It was just on the TV all the time. That's the week that we wrote it. I remember, because we both came into the office at the publishing company, me and Alex Dooley, and we'd finished with our rights for the afternoon. And he's like, well, gentlemen, start your weekends. And you know, as soon as I heard him say that, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's the title for this.
That's dude. It.
That's what this song is. Right. And so then we just kind of wrote it from there pretty quickly. And I wanted to, you know, I wanted to make it be stuff that I like to listen to, which are pump up songs, up tempo, fun, go out and party or whatever, you know, like, I think the problem, what I don't love about Nashville right now is like all the songs are focused about alcohol. Like it's all about the drinking. Like the focus is on, you know, trying to get like, oh, Patron or whatever beer brand.
Trying to get a sponsor in the song.
Yeah. I say that if somebody doesn't know about country, but they put on country radio today, they think everybody's an unemployed alcoholic that was always at a body of water with a truck.
I mean... Yeah, like
a girl that they don't really respect at all, you know.
From my faraway perspective, I can fully agree.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but country music at its best, for example, and you know, kind of all forms of music, but where this comes from the folk side and what country music has been traditionally is like, you know, it's interesting, intriguing stories about real people, and you know, people get drunk, people go out to the bar and have too much, you know, people, you know, drunk dial their girlfriends and stuff like that. Yeah, but we also do other things, you know, throughout the course of our lives. And if you listen to top 40 country, it seems like the only thing we're doing right now is we need to go to an AA meeting or something. So
you should write the song about that.
Maybe.
The aftermath of the starting your weekend every weekend.
Yeah. But I love that you said pump up and like the perfect anthem, because that's what I've kind of realized after we've got this song out it is really kind of like a, you know, it's a zeitgeist kind of a Friday night. Go out and have fun, drop your troubles, and go hang out with your friends, or
absolutely
go out on a date, or whatever you're doing. You know, as, no, especially totally. After the pandemic. You know,
we're oh still my goodness,
to
yeah.
Get used to, yes, it's okay to go see a movie.
Right, you can do that now.
That's right.
A safe way. Yeah, I fully agree. Like the energy that the song brings is just like it's unmatched. It makes you feel good. It puts a smile on your face, and I promise, like when people listen, they're going to be singing by the end of it. It's just like. It's got that infectious energy about it.
Thank you.
I not to take away too much from the song, but I want to talk a little bit more about your music as a whole. So you've got this song. You've obviously got more songs that I recommend people check out too. What does the future of your music look like in terms of like experimenting, trying new things, just, yeah, anything?
Yeah, I think... I've been in kind of a chrysalis, or, you know, crucible, or whatever, you know, metaphor you want to use over the last 3 or 4 years. You know, I went through life changes like everybody else that has happened. I've gotten to a certain point in my career, and I'm also, you know, as part of just, you know, not trying to pigeonhole myself as just country and trying to make music kind of all genres, or without really concern to genres. So, you know, I released a song called A Horse Named Freedom a couple of years ago. That's just a piano track, basically. I've got, you know, I've had a couple of cuts this year with like some R&B artists and a pop artist. And so, I mean, I've write with other people, and I really like writing. I think I'm at the point where I've probably learned, you can always improve, but I think I've got to a point from the Nashville writing that, I've been branching out every other place for a while now with writing. Yeah. So now it's time for the songs, you know, on the production side coming out. So I have a lot of things in store. This album that I'm about to release is, you know, there's still some grounded in country, but it's more of kind of the roots rock and Americana.
Okay.
I've heard somebody say roots rock blowout, which would kind of fit with this song too.
Sure.
And a little bit, you know, I don't know. Maybe what I might hear is, say, like a Smashing Pumpkins meets, you know, Nine Inch Nails or something. Nice. Filter on what I've done before or something. Maybe where the 90s guys were bringing in like old time rock and roll, maybe I'm bringing in the grunge, or, you know, maybe the Motley Crue, or
there you know. Go. Yeah, bring something. That back.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just, but not, you know, in a cheesy way, but just kind of incorporate some of the, what was great about that we're missing, or like Guns N' Roses, you know, you know, that was their big album, was a really dark album, but the music and the funkiness of the music, even is what we were talking about. But like, that's part of what was really cool about their music, is there was a certain jangle in that hard rock stuff that was indefinable. So yeah, I have a project I'm working on too. That's basically, it's almost kind of like a 90s alternative throwback, you know, maybe like some Soundgarden meets Chili Peppers or No Doubt or Sublime or something. So we'll see. I mean, but with my filter, it's probably going to, you know, it's just going to be, I call it American music, man, because it's all these different genres.
It's the really best, hard to, bands. Yeah, it's hard to narrow it down.
Right. I mean, like, a great example of like one of the things I can't stop listening to now is the Revivalist album, you know, and where do you label them? I mean, you know, some of it's Americana pop, some of it's very like throwback 80s rock or new wave even. I mean,
sure.
So it's just, you know, or Imagine Dragons. I mean, their own thing.
So. Yeah. I mean, yeah. What are you supposed to, I don't know. Right. It's okay though. Sometimes, yeah, you don't need to think too much about it. And I feel like, as a casual music listener, you just want music to make you feel a certain way, and you don't, you know, but obviously you're an artist, so you're thinking about it all the time.
Yeah, yeah, as a creator, you're always thinking about it, you know, especially if you're an overanalyzer, but at the end of the day, you have to get out of the way and let the music be.
Right. Are you playing shows nowadays? Is that something you're doing or in the works?
Yeah, I have been. I'm kind of, you know, transitioning. You know, if there's any booking agents out there that, you know, give us a call. You know, I'm telling you right now. I've got to remember where my...
So tell me about what you've been up to. Like, what are your shows looking like?
Yeah, I mean, this summer I've been lucky to play with a lot of... I've been playing with a lot of like legendary kind of country acts. So like I've opened for like McBride and the Ride and Doug Stone and you know, some people like that. And it's been, you know, it's been fun. And we've been playing in Texas because I've been lucky to have a lot of support with radio in Texas, because I think my brand just kind of fits in there. And being from Tulsa, Oklahoma, it's in the region.
Sure.
So I've been really, you know, lucky to have that kind of support. So I've been focused on kind of regional playing.
Yeah.
And I've also kind of had to try to let go of trying to book myself, because sometimes it's banging your head against the wall, you know, 20 calls to get, you know, a response or whatever. Right. So I, you know, I'm trying to let go of that and let my team kind of handle it. But I think my next big show is probably, I'm playing in Chickasha, Oklahoma with I think Doug Stone again, nice. Which is outside of Oklahoma City. And then I'm on the 29th of September, and then I'm playing at the Tulsa State Fair in October. Those are kind of my next two big shows, like with full band. And then like the next one I'm really excited about, I'm playing at Bluebird Cafe, I think on
that's awesome.
Probably when this airs, maybe next week. So
yeah.
Yeah, so in a round with Anthony Smith and some of my buddies, so that'll be really fun.
Very cool.
Hard to get more, you know, legendary than that place.
No, Bluebird Cafe is an iconic venue. Yes. I mean, if you know music, you know that place.
Yeah, right.
Considering we're a little more than halfway finished with this year, which is crazy. I can't believe.
Yeah, this year right.
Just blown right past. What are some other things that are happening towards the end of the year? You've kind of highlighted the shows and stuff like that. Can we expect more music, or just any goals you'd like to hit?
Yeah. At this point, I'm trying to release more music consistently. Cause like a lot of musicians, you know, we have a love hate relationship with the various algorithms. Right. And, in this time of being in my chrysalis or whatever, I did kind of like get away from Spotify, but now I'm at a point where, you know, we've got the release schedule kind of lined up. So we've got some more songs we're going to release and building to an EP that'll be coming out soon. And then we'll probably do the whole full album, hopefully after that. So nice. A lot of new music coming out, and yeah. And you'll get to hear some different, like if you go back and listen to my catalog of what's out right now, it's definitely heavily, you know, kind of country, you know, which is great. I mean, it's kind of, I've had comparisons to like, you know, Kenny Chesney or John Party are kind of in that kind of lane.
Yeah.
But a lot of the stuff coming out, maybe it's going to be, you know, it's going to be more like this song, maybe, you know, in time. So there's just different directions. So I'm trying not to inhibit myself, you know, and try to just let the music kind of choose itself.
Totally understand. And at the end of the day, like, you're the one putting the time and effort into this thing. If it's not music that you want to listen to and you want to make, then like, what's the point, you know?
Yeah, when I started out, I was like, you know, nobody else may ever listen to this, but I just want to make music that I want to listen to the rest of my life.
That's what it should be about. Like, you should have no shame driving on the highway, listening to your own music, like getting the feeling that you want to have.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, my advice to other artists and like stuff that I've kind of taken to heart is, you know, don't compare yourself, you know, stop comparing yourself even to your peers, much less to like somebody that's a superstardom level. And, you know, to that point, I mean, in the last 3 months, I've really just kind of turned the focus back on trying to engage with and connect with people that just absolutely love my music, the super fans. Sure. And like, so interestingly, like this could be like suicide, people might say, but I've like manually removed like close to 30,000 followers from my Instagram page.
Wow.
Like, and a lot of those were people that, because that Instagram profile has been around 10 years that I've been making music. So a lot of them aren't active anymore. We probably lost them in the pandemic. But then I think once I got verified and with some hashtags that we were on or whatever, you end up getting bots and people and kind of latching on, you know, people that are trying to follow to get other people to follow you and stuff. But it's been an interesting journey. So I'm like down to like around 2,000 right now. So
it's quality over quantity.
Quality,
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to make the community more about, you know, so that I can, you know, just be, make the communities more about the music too, you know.
Good.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
James, I have one more question for you.
Sure.
I want to know, for the person that is going to discover you from this, what is an opening message that you'd like to say to them before they listen to your music for the first time?
Yeah, well, thanks for giving my music a shot. Thanks for listening. I hope you like what you hear. you know, my influences are so diverse, just like anybody else that, you know, listens to music. You'll either love it or hate it. And if you love it, reach out to me, tag me on Instagram or whatever.
There you go.
DM, baby.
Very
and thanks
cool.
for listening.
Yeah, of course.
Number one.
I want to thank you so much. And I also want to plug your music for you one more time here. So for anyone that missed out, the first time, the song is called Gentlemen Start Your Weekends, and we will have the links in the article as soon as the song goes live, along with all your social media and all the other Absolutely. Fun stuff so they can follow along and stay tuned. I'm excited, though, because I want to hear the inevitable follow-up, but in the meantime, I will be listening to the song, truly. And yeah, James, I want to thank you again so much for taking the time.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. Hope you stay cool out there. And speak to you soon. Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right. See ya.